Give me 1 second to save all the articles that I'm totally going to read.
More like farticles.
That's very funny. Fuck. That's so fucking funny. I'll call them farticles.
Sure.
That's my favorite.
They're funny, then they're funny.
That's my favorite character in the Iliad. Farticles. How'd your day?
It was good. It was good. It was nice. Nice day back at work. We're still fighting with the daycare to see if they will take our kid back after getting him sick and then telling us that he needs to stay home, which is just baby drama, but is very annoying. For if there's any parents listening and this doesn't get edited out, then maybe you feel my pain.
It's always some no kid having motherfuckers that want to tell you how to raise your kid and prevent them from getting hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. But he's super itchy, and neither of us have got it. Although I'm like phantom itchy. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like paranoid itchy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like after you run into a spider web.
Yes. Yeah. Just from looking at his, you know, little diseased ass.
Yeah. I gotta ask, is hand, foot, and mouth disease something that you only get once, like chickenpox?
No, apparently it mutates so much. It's like the flu. It mutates so much that you can get it like any time, basically, which is frightening.
Can it kill you?
Not no.
To freak you out. Oh, then what's the problem?
Well, Google it and look at some pictures of it and be like, ooh.
I'm good.
All kinds of blisters around your mouth, and then you look all crazy. It looks like the. Remember the shit they used to show you in health class to like scare you from having sex? The like herpes pictures. Yeah. It looks like that.
We took health together.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Remember, I would drive us to school at like 7 a.m. because we took the 0 hour class.
I do remember. I thought we weren't in the same class. I thought I had like a different classroom than you.
We may have been in different classrooms, but we went to 0 hour health together.
I definitely remember you driving my ass to school.
We were seniors. We did not take health until the like last semester, and they weren't going to let us graduate. And so we'd wake up early. We'd either stop at Chick-fil-A and get some breakfast, or we'd go to Kroger and shoplift a bunch of donuts.
Yes, that is correct. If you go to the grocery store and you just eat stuff and they don't stop you, well, then that's yours.
Yeah. That's what I do in the produce section. I'm just biting into watermelons.
popping a bunch of grapes.
Yeah. No one can stop me. But anyway, you want to get into the episode? We got a few things to talk about. It's been hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Propagandos. It is Tuesday, February 25th at 7:30 p.m. We're doing I'll go ahead and call it, we're doing pretty much another episode of Gulf Coastal Elites, where we talk about current events going on in the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of, where does propaganda stand? What are we calling it? The Gulf of Mexico.
I'm never going to remember to call it the Gulf of America. It's one of those things. It's like, I think it's funny to change it, and it's very, very stupid, which is just like how, you know, America is right now. Oh, yeah. But I'm not going to remember to do it. So that kind of defeats the purpose. I'm lazy and dumb.
I wonder if it rolls off the tongue for future generations that only hear it, Gulf of America. Because you say it fast, it's Gulf of America.
Gulf of America. The more you say it, the more it sounds like you're speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll always be Gulf of Mexico in my eyes. What are some other things in America? It's like, yeah, I'm only going to call it Mount Denali, and I'm only going to call it Gulf of Mexico.
Mount McKinley. Is he racist? Why do they change that?
McKinley?
Yeah.
Maybe. Or no, I think he was just like really pro big business.
Oh, he was just an asshole, and they're like, we could have a better name. Denali sounds cool. It sounds like a cool car.
He probably was racist.
Oh, it is a car.
It is a car. Yeah. dumbass.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, McKinley probably was like not a good dude.
They really let anybody have a podcast, huh?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff that is going on in Texas right now and could impact, specifically Lake Charles. We shall see. But first things first, we're going to do a quick touch base. Look, man, I saw Captain America. I forget if it's Brave New World or New World Order. I can't remember.
The one with Thomas in it.
Yeah. There was a character who in the comics is named Sabra, which if you don't know, Sabra is a term for someone that is, a natively born Israeli, aka someone born in Israel after the Nakba, which is an offensive term to Palestinians because it's just
after the establishment of Israel, basically. Right. Yeah.
It's just a further slap in the face to Palestinians for, you know, their land being colonized and occupied. As for the movie, they did change her origin from a Mossad agent to being like a Black Widow, which is like a super spy in the
quick
Marvel
rewrite film. On that one in the past year.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Suppose.
Oh, yeah. They rewrote it after October 7th. It wasn't like they're like, hey, guys, before we start writing, let's make some changes. They're like, uh-oh.
Whoops.
Yeah. So they changed that up. Look, I thought the script was pretty solid in my humble opinion. I thought it was a decent political throw. Like this would be like a nice like B plus political thriller. Not quite Manchurian Candidate, not quite The Fugitive, but you know, it was fine. The problem was that the acting was terrible and it looked like shit. With the exception
really?
Of, yeah, I mean I thought Red Hulk looked really awesome, but everyone else, dude, this movie went through four different rewrites. There was a whole character that was added in at the last minute because it just wasn't coming together. It was interesting. Oh, and some of the Foley wasn't finished, so like Captain America would land on the ground and you wouldn't hear anything. I was like,
oh, what?
Yeah, wait, what? What? You can't even
such
hear
amateurish footprint? Mistakes. That's odd.
Amateurish mistakes. Well, they, you know, Kevin Feige fired this woman, Victoria Alonso, because and she was in charge of all of Marvel Cinematic Universe's like visual.
Was she
effect.
Too woke?
Kind of, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so in Ant-Man, in one of the Ant-Man movies, which they all take place in San Francisco, there were some pride flags. She's a gay woman, and they were told like, hey, for Chinese markets and Saudi Arabian markets and now American markets, you got to edit out all these pride flags, and she refused to do it. And she broke the cardinal rule of Marvel Cinematic Universe, which was she aired her grievances publicly.
Yeah.
And she got turbo fired. And ever since then, the movies look like shit. So Chinese moral standards in Saudi Arabia have a direct impact on how good these Marvel movies are, apparently.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the Hong Kong cinema industry should just pick her up, like move her over, give her like, you know, $100 million to move to China and start making whatever they make, just like Wuxia, Captain yeah. China.
Can you make a Neja 3? I mean, I'm about to go see Neja 2 in theaters. I saw Neja 1.
Yeah, biggest animated movie of all time.
Biggest animated movie of all time, yeah.
One of the highest grossing films of all time as well. And like, I don't know anything about this. I was like a little dragon child or something.
Kind of. It's all about like it's like every big Chinese movie. It's just like based on an ancient legend or a war story.
They love that shit.
They do. Why not? Yeah. It's all about promoting their values and their history and their culture. And Neja is a little demon boy, the divine pearl or something was like put into a baby and it made him a demon. It was
sense.
Late. It was late. I had subtitles on. I may or may not have been like slightly stoned. Yeah, I was like, yeah, let me take a gummy and watch this Chinese animation.
Fuck?
And I'm like, who are these people? Why is that guy riding a pig?
I mean, you're really like imbibing the, you know, the historical context, right? But just being like shocked and awed by this stuff. But it's just because you're fucking stoned.
Yeah. But one real quick thing I wanted to say about this Captain America movie is I've been friends with you for too long, Alec, because there is a scene where the United States and Japan enter into kind of a tense military escalation. And obviously, in realistic terms, if America made this movie for American audiences, it would have been China. And instead, because they have to market the movie to China, they made it Japan. And so Japan's naval fleet and is attacking, you know, they send fighter jets to attack American fighter jets, and their naval fleets are shooting artillery cannons at American ships. And here's the thing, Japan's not allowed to have a fucking military. And when I saw that, all I could think was like, oh my God, Alec would hate this. Japan can't have a military. Why do they have a military in this movie?
I think America,
which begs the question, what happened in the Marvel Cinematic timeline that allowed Japan or Nippon to have their own military?
I guess the imperialists won. I don't know. Like, they had one of those parades with all the loudspeakers on that, like, on one of those white vans, and they were like, you know what? They're right. Let's put the emperor back in charge. Fuck this, man. Yeah, they changed the flag to the rising sun one. But I mean, they do technically. I mean, they kind of have a military. They have the self defense forces, which they're all, by the way, called the self defense force. It's like the Japanese air defense force. The Japanese, I think it's Naval Defense Force. They're all just that, right?
Right.
And it's really funny in like this is boring. It's really funny in like army meetings or whatever, right? Like military meetings where like you hear Americans have to say the whole thing just over and over and over again because they can't call it the army, right? It's not
right.
Very not allowed.
Yeah, they did not follow that rule in this Captain America movie. But I'll wait until you see it. But it did give me. Speaking of the self-defense force, it did give me big, like, Pat Labor 2 kind of vibes in terms of, like, the political intrigue.
Well, that's good. But, I'll have to see it. I mean, if you're comparing it to, like, The Fugitive, like, that's worth watching, probably.
Hang on. Let me just say, The Fugitive had good actors in it. This one does not.
Oh, I see.
Harrison Ford, Anthony Mackie is only so good at the person he's sharing his scene with. So when he's with Harrison Ford, it's great. When he's with anybody else, it's net so good.
Oh, okay. Well, Harrison Ford can bring up any scene, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Let's move on to Texas.
What's
stuff.
Going on in Texas, brother? Because lot's going on in Texas, apparently.
A lot's going on in Texas. Let's start off. We've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Or we can say the funny, the bad, and the ugly.
There you go.
Actually, I think good, bad, and ugly still applies because that'll the work. Good thing, the funny thing, Dan Crenshaw was caught on a hot mic moment. If you don't know Dan Crenshaw, he's basically Solid Snake of the Senate. he's got an eye patch. He might be the only Republican I'd ever vote for president just because I'm like, yeah, we got Big Boss as president now.
I hate Dan Crenshaw. He's another one of these like troop morons. Yeah. Right, he's missing an eye, famously, and his district. If you want to look up, I think it's Texas District 3. It looks like an eye patch, which is very funny.
Yeah,
it's gerrymandered that it looks like an eye patch.
It's all of Kingwood and then some of Montrose, which Kingwood and Montrose are like 30 miles away from each other.
Yeah, so. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But he was in an interview with this British journalist, Stephen Edgington. Edgington, whatever.
He's beaten off and not coming.
And so Dan Crenshaw, Edgington asked Dan Crenshaw, like, have you met Tucker Carlson yet? Have you talked to Tucker? And Dan Crenshaw said, on mic, look, we argue a lot online. If I ever meet him, I'll fucking kill him. He's the worst person.
I mean,
and
but
Tucker and Crenshaw disagree often publicly, usually about Ukraine and Russia. Tucker, as some of y'all may know, is very pro-Russia. He did that whole interview with Putin and then was like, look at these grocery stores. These are amazing. Why don't we have this at home? I didn't ask for this. Did you? Like that kind of
just
bullshit.
Doing straight agitprop for the Russians. Just like the most pathetic, like naked shit as well.
As if Tucker Carlson is like going to like fucking Fiesta and looking around and being like, where is anything in my grocery store?
Yeah, yeah.
He probably shopped at like fucking Erewhon or something. And shut the fuck up about
It is so funny, like, because I assume they asked him to do that, right? I think they've said they didn't, which is like such a lie, but it shows that like it's so Cold War era, right? Like, look at our grocery stores, there's bread in them, and it's like, this is fucking pathetic, man. Of all the things you could, you know what he should have done? If you really want to do like right wing bullshit, you should go talk to some like, I guess all the troops are in Ukraine, so that'd be bad, but like go talk to some like Russian muscle guys in Siberia. Do like the gay Putin stuff where he like takes his shirt off and like rides around on a horse, right? Yeah. Do that stuff. People eat that shit up.
So Tuck Crenshaw, it's hard for me to really identify his position. I don't know if he's pro Ukraine, anti-Russia, pro US interventionism, or if he's just pro arms sales and arms manufacturing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All of
to all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the standouts as one of the kind of last remaining super pro Ukraine Republican congressman, right? Like that's known and is like very vocal about that. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the ship has sailed on support for Ukraine. So
It sure has. They've also famously fought over Israel, where Tucker Carlson pointed out, like, the people who are really suffering from Israel bombing Gaza are Christians in Gaza. And Crenshaw's just like, shut the fuck up. Like,
the
never
people really suffering is me, are our viewers who have to look at this.
It's like just the two worst people you know fighting, and you're like, you guys are both wrong, and you guys are both like fucking idiots. So
you guys are both assholes, right? Who I would prefer not to see.
Yeah. I tried listening to Dan Crenshaw's podcast for like maybe doing an episode on it, and like
I guess
oh, just like how the left is stupid. He'll have like, he'll be like, I'm bringing on experts so we can actually debate and have a conversation. And of course it's like people that he agrees with, like he's not going to genuinely, unlike us, they will not genuinely engage with like opposing media and I mean, I think you and I do our best to understand like where
we certainly watch a lot of it. Yeah. We watch a ton of most shit that does not agree with our views, right? We engage with it. I don't know anyway.
But look, if you're a right winger, come on the show, why not? Fuck it.
Yes, yes. If you listened to our Alex Jones podcast and thought that we didn't give him enough credit, we would love to talk to you because you're right. We didn't give him enough credit.
All right. Enough about that. That's the good/funny. Now let's go to the bad. The bad is the Texas lottery scandal. So in June 2022, there was a company called lottery.com that, you know, they had an internal lawyer who said, like, hey, I think we might be breaking the law. And they brought this up to their board of directors, and some people got really upset. And what they were doing is selling Texas lottery tickets out of state, but printing and redeeming them here in Texas. And so investors were told in public filings that this was not happening, but they come to find out that it does. So the board disclosed the violation, fired the president and the CFO of the company. Four board members quit, chief legal officer quit, and NASDAQ threatens to delist them. But the Texas Lottery Commission kept working with them. Now let's cut to April of 2023. Lottery.com is back up. It's back up and running. Sales are booming, and they are selling millions upon millions of tickets to a single client.
Wait, so how did they break the law the first time?
They're selling Texas lottery tickets out of state, and it all operates.
Oh, what the fuck? Yeah, okay. That's, by the way, if you are not a Texas resident, I think you are not allowed to participate in the Texas lottery, right?
Correct. So they tighten it up and they're like, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to sell like tickets to Texas residents. And they sold it to a single client, and lottery.com and an affiliated company with them, ALTX Management, worked with two other companies, which turns out included a British company, to buy up over 25 million lottery tickets for one investor based in fucking Malta, who ended up winning the $95 million jackpot. The short-lived investment group that they formed, which was mostly made up of like wealthy Europeans, was called Rook Texas. Now, listeners, in case you aren't like a fucking degenerate who sometimes needs a dopamine rush, it cost me about $2 to get a lottery ticket at my like local gas station.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a dollar. I looked online. It's like, it's a dollar. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I paid $2 for each.
Well, I was just
going to
say, that's a huge return on investment. That's like, what, I've been $45 million on a $50 million investment, you said?
$50 million investment, $95 million payout. So they made.
That's almost 2-1.
Yeah. And of course, lottery.com gets a commission because they use couriers. And what that is, the way the business model works is, Alec, you are in Lake Charles, but let's say you live in Dallas, right? And you're like, hey, Connor, my buddy in Houston, go buy me a lottery ticket. This is what I want. So you pay for a lottery ticket. You pay $2 plus whatever fines and fees and commission that I'm taking out of it. Mm-hmm. And I turn around and I give it to a courier to actually go to the gas station and buy a lottery ticket.
Because the lottery tickets have to be, they have to be bought at physical locations, right?
Right.
I presume. Okay.
Yes. And lottery.com was using this courier system. And then they were like, hey, here's an idea. Let's set up in a different room in our building, a legal spot where you can buy lottery tickets. So their courier just walks down the hallway, fills out the paperwork, and buys a lottery ticket for you. And it's like, yeah, it's just like a
that sounds like a scammy but legal workaround too.
Yeah, you're just adding a middleman to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And it does beg the questions, like, I guess, like, if you live super far away from a gas station or a place to get lottery tickets, it would make sense. But at that point, like, do you even have the internet infrastructure to order this ticket?
I have to ask, who the fuck is buying lottery tickets online? But I guess the answer is people that are scamming the Texas lottery. Oh,
yeah. Maltese finance hawks. I almost said Maltese finance falcons, but
yeah. Bernie, are you listening?
And so lottery.com makes most of their money off of commission. So out of the $45 million, I assume it was like divvied up. So everybody got their nut on this, right? Mm-hmm. Now, did lottery.com violate the law? The jury's still kind of out on this. So Gary Grief, who is the former executive director of the Texas Lottery Commission, he took a very Texas approach, which is a hands-off approach to regulating.
He shot them.
He took a very hands-off approach to regulating lottery.com and other companies like this, because there are several. Lottery.com's just the biggest one that got busted. And he wrote them merchant of record letters, you know, legitimizing their operations. Now, lottery.com admitted to business practices that were in violation of regulations in their public filing, but the lottery commission claimed to not know anything about it, which is like, okay.
How convenient.
Yeah. So are you just admitting that you didn't do your due diligence? Mm-hmm. Now, are there consequences to this? Maybe. So Gary Grief, the director of the Texas Lottery Commission, he retired right before the lottery commission was going to go through a top to bottom audit of its internal practices. And all major news outlets that are writing about this, he could not be reached for comment.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure he's like, don't talk to me anymore. Now, Clark Smith was the lottery commissioner who was appointed by Abbott in November of 2023, 7 months after this jackpot in question. Because that jackpot, that $95 million jackpot, was in April. So 7 months after that, Abbott appoints Clark Smith, and he immediately resigns, despite having nothing to do with it, despite Gary Grief being the one who paved the way for all this. I mean, that's politics, right? Like, someone's got to fall on the sword, whether or not you're the guy who did it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's to be expected, but it's still like, okay, so why aren't you going after the guy who...
Yeah.
You know, probably helped you do this and, you know, maybe donated to you. Or honestly, because the Texas Lottery Commission donates a lot of their proceeds, if not all of their proceeds, to education efforts in the state of Texas. Hey, I donated a bunch of money to your specific district. So, like, get off my ass.
Because the Texas Lottery, right? I mean, I think. State gambling is inherently kind of predatory, but at least the Texas Lottery, most of the money goes back into the Texas school departments, right? I mean, that being said, those Texas schools are mostly just teaching you not to have sex, and like, I don't even know what else at this point. But like,
but teacher, if I can't have sex, how do I get my dopamine hit? Good question. Let me tell you about scratch offs.
This is a penny. This is your lucky penny. No, okay.
Yeah,
go on, Connor. Name, I'm sorry.
Put your name on it, everyone. At the end of the semester, you have to return it. So Abbott has assigned this case to the Texas Rangers because people are upset and they're trying to like do something about it. What's funny to me is that this was a very Texas approach to regulations, right? Like no regulation.
Yeah.
And now there is a Texas, I don't have his name, but there is a Texas politician that has said that like this is the largest fraud that has ever been like imposed on the people of Texas. It's like, okay, all right,
I don't know about that, the biggest one. You can't think of any other one.
Yeah, very, very foolish. And there's also now an immediate ban on courier sales, so they can no longer do the courier practice.
That
now,
seems obvious.
Now, this is going to make you laugh, Alec. A coalition of courier companies released what I consider to be a very laughable statement. Let me read it here. Okay. Throughout this process, the TLC, Texas Lottery Commission, has claimed to have no regulatory authority over courier activities, despite couriers' persistent requests to be regulated. Today's decision by the TLC to ban lottery courier services is abrupt, disappointing, and necessary. So just to be like, we begged you to regulate us. Mm-hmm. You didn't regulate us. So now we committed all these crimes. Ooh, woo, 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 woo.
Whoops. So we really wanted and asked for somebody to tell us that we were breaking the law.
Yeah. Like we wanted to be punished. We wanted to have boundaries, but you didn't give us any.
Very, send me that in an email, buddy, for sure. Absolutely.
Very gaslighting, save your ass kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, bills are obviously, since the legislative session is like happening right now, but it's being bills are being filed like crazy to correct and regulate the Texas Lottery Commission, with one bill even calling to abolish the lottery completely.
Wow.
Yeah. That won't happen, but it should be noted that Senator
don't get
Bob,
your hopes up.
yeah. It should be noted that Senator Bob Hall is refiling a bill that he introduced in 2023 to crack down on couriers the year that this fucking occurred. And based on how the Texas legislative sessions are early in the year, it would have been before the jackpot in question. So he was on top of this shit.
Oh, wow.
It easily passed in the Senate, but it died in the House.
I see.
And so, yeah, someone tried to do something. Someone was like, hey, I guess the lottery's not going to regulate these people, so maybe I got to fucking do it. And, of course, Texas being like, regulation? What are you, a commie pinko bastard? That sounds
so maybe I got to get off my ass and do my job. Or he tried to get in on the lottery grift, and they're like, you're a fucking nerd. Get out of here.
He's like, I'll show you.
They don't know who they're dealing with.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, this is Texas, man. We hate regulations until we get swindled. Then we crack down. It's very, very stupid. And we act like it's not our fault at all that this happened to us.
I'm going to say, I mean, as far as Texas swindles go, like, you know, I'm gesturing over here at Entergy for the rest of time, right? But I don't know.
Hey, now, that was where my daddy worked.
Yeah, things are getting better over there, I'm sure. Every day.
I think that when it comes to regulations in Texas, I really do think of the meme of the guy on the bike who puts the tree branch in the bike spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Who could have done this?
Now, look, I'm not smart enough to know if this is going to help or hurt the plan to legalize gambling in Texas. Well, I shouldn't say that I'm not smart enough. I'm not prescient enough because I can't tell the future. I don't know what's going to happen. Right now, Tillman Fertitta, the emperor of Texas.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, he's been courting Greg Abbott. You see them at sitting courtside at Rockets game to help pave the way for legalized gambling in Texas. We already have sports betting. You can do DraftKings and all that. But he's trying to get gambling legalized completely so he can expand his casino empire closer to home. Mm-hmm. Greg Abbott has said that he is open to this, but Dan Patrick, our lieutenant governor, is very anti-gambling. This will set up a dispute down the road. Dan Patrick is the one who like went to some of these courier companies and videotaped himself being like, look at all these computers and digital devices that are not supposed to be used for selling lottery tickets. And they're using them.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. So I don't know if I can call him principled, but he definitely has like,
well,
he believes in blue laws than he believes in profit.
It's one of the only things that you can like actually appreciate, like Christian conservatives for is, I mean, look, I love booze, and they can fuck off with like, dry counties and shit like that. But they hate gambling with like a passion. Yeah. And I know it's fun, guys, but it's really, really shitty. It's I don't know. It's incredibly predatory. It just shouldn't exist, right? Like, you just shouldn't have to. I don't know.
You called it a poor. No. You've called it a poor tax before. And like, I think that you offer a unique perspective on this because you live in Lake Charles. Tilman Fertitta has a casino out there.
Yes.
A lot of Lake Charles industry is built on Texans driving the bus into Lake Charles to stay at the Golden Nugget.
Lake Charles has three casinos in the town and an Indian casino not far outside, right?
Kashada.
And a lot of people do work at these things, right? And you could say, well, yeah, but this brings in like a lot of out of state money, and that taxation goes to something. And it's like, you'd almost rather be doing anything else, right? Because a ton of the money that the casinos make is local, right? It's people that are retirees or that work around in Lake Charles. And trust me, they're just like out of towners, and that they go to casinos for free drinks and then, you know, blow a couple hundred bucks like every weekend. It's just as much of a problem for us as it is for like vacationers, and the vacationers don't live here. They have less access to this kind of stuff. Anyway. I really hate the casinos, y'all. They're really bad.
No, I mean, I don't like casinos either. I don't like gambling. Like I said, like every now and then I'll get like a scratch off just to feel something because I don't like it.
I love it.
Yeah, I cut like pretty much all of my dopamine hits out of my life. Kill me, please. I just think it's dumb fun. Like I rarely ever go, but I do think that you're right. It is very predatory. There are people who like, I just got paid. I'm going to the casino. Maybe I can double my paycheck. Fuck, I'm broke.
And everybody always tells you about their big wins. Nobody ever tells you about like the other four times they went and lost it all. Right.
Yeah. Why they had to take out a second mortgage on their home. That kind of shit. It's pretty sad. It makes me think about when we went to Vegas for your bachelor party.
That was terrible.
Yeah. I did win $375.
Good. I'm glad. The best part about it was taking edibles and those all those like NASCAR boomers, if you remember that.
Yep. Yep.
I on the strip. That. Hell yeah.
I remember seeing Penn and Teller, which was really fun. And then we were there when Bernie Sanders won the Nevada caucus, and it was like an electric feeling.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. When we saw the one guy in a Bernie shirt, we got really excited and we talked to him. Everyone else could not give a fuck.
Nobody gave a shit at all.
including in your bachelor party. Nobody gave a shit.
It was like a magical night for that reason. And then everything else about Las Vegas, I fucking hated.
I'm going back to Vegas in April for work, and I am not looking forward. I mean, I got a Steam Deck now, so I'll probably just sit in my hotel room and
God bless you, Connor. Well, I mean, there's weed. You can always just get stoned as hell, bro.
I'm going with my. Well, I guess if it's legal, if we go to a state where it's legal, can I get high around my boss?
You cannot ask. I would do that.
I'll blow the smoke in his face and be like, you can't do nothing.
You're fucking lame, bro.
Can you give me $100? I'm down.
Man, I really need this, brother.
You're gonna break my legs.
You've been in town for 2 hours.
Yeah, I lost everything at the airport casino when you land in Vegas.
They really do have those. They have got slot machines in the fucking airport. It's wild.
And it's encased in an area that you can just like smoke in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to be able to smoke.
That's one thing I'm actually very nervous about is like, you know, I'm 2 years without a cigarette. Am I going to want to smoke while I'm in Vegas? And some people have said yes. Some people have said absolutely not because the smell is so strong of like stale cigarettes that you'll get nauseous.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's like, if you remember, there's like that fake air like smell that's like piped in, and then you can kind of barely detect the cigarettes, and it actually makes it like worse than just like walking into like a smoky bar.
Yeah.
It's like somehow it's like fucked up and weird that way.
But But it is tight to smoke indoors. It's like the coolest fucking thing in the world.
It's pretty tight. Yeah. That's why they don't let us do it anymore, Connor.
Yeah. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas unless it's an addiction that you acquire. Yeah,
that you keep for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Okay, you got anything else to say about gambling before we move on to the ugly?
Not really. No.
Okay. Well, it's time for the ugly, and if I haven't said it before on this podcast, I'll say it right now. Being a Texan, immigration is something that's very important to me, specifically the proper handling of immigration. And that goes all the way to U.S. interventionism causing people to flee their home countries and come here. Like, I think it is not as simple as, oh, they just want all of our amenities. Like, no, we destabilize and fuck up places, and then we get really mad when they all come here looking for some stability and security. So just listeners, please excuse me if I get worked up or riled up over this, because we've talked before about the border crisis and Operation Lone Star and Greg Abbott's just like absolutely inhumane treatment of people looking for a better life, and he's doing it again.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, that is Monday, the 24th of February, 2025, Greg Abbott collaborated with our border czar, Tom Homan, to raid the Colony Ridge neighborhood, which is in the Houston area. It's northeast of Houston, directly east of the Woodlands and Montgomery County, but it's still part of Harris County. And Colony Ridge, the massive raid conducted yesterday morning, and this neighborhood, this development, has been accused by right-wing media outlets of being a hotbed of cartel activity. Now, when I read about this, I cannot help but think of the Aurora, Colorado scandal with the Lowry apartment complex with the Trendaragua gang, where that ended up just being like a landlord was sick and tired of having to repair people's apartments. So he just like, you guys are like in a gang and you gotta go. Even though cops in Aurora are like, they're not in a fucking gang. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but even the cops are like, this is bullshit and you're wasting our time, right? Like, you know shit is fucked then.
Mm-hmm. Now, this conspiracy, this story goes all the way back to 2023. And let me get my facts straight here. Nope, it goes back to 2022, actually. My mistake. But I'll get to 2022 in a second. Let me start in 2023. So in December of 2023, federal authorities, the feds, the Biden feds, sued the developers of Colony Ridge for misleading Latino homebuyers into bad loans, seller finance mortgages, and basically setting these homebuyers up to fail. And they would force them to default on their liens and have their houses foreclosed on because they didn't look into whether or not they actually had the gross income to pay off these loans. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like 2007, 2008? You know? So Colony Ridge not only was doing this, but they were taking out ads and making TikTok videos in Spanish specifically to attract Latino homebuyers. And these would have like flags. According to the Texas Tribune, these ads would feature national flags of Latin American countries, contests for gifts that would include free tractors. Like, even the ads that were in Spanish saying like, would you like to buy land or would you like to own land in the United States? Which is not something you say to someone who lives like in Conroe wanting to move to a different county. So is it predatory? Yes, I have to acknowledge that. Now, the developer would entice potential buyers to come visit the property. Then once they saw the property, he would lean on them hard with super low down payments and give them a loan. And we all know how this goes. They can't afford a loan. The houses get foreclosed on. The developer would lie about utility services such as water, electricity, sewage, trash pickup, and would leave these people holding the bag on all this stuff. Now, once the buyer defaulted, Colony Ridge would buy the land back up again and repeat the process. Over and over, same lot.
Oh, wow.
Over and over and over. And according to this federal lawsuit, the developers of Colony Ridge, one in four properties of Colony Ridge would end in a foreclosure.
Oh,
this
that's fucked. That 20, is crazy. Yeah,
25%, right? That's insane.
That's nuts. Now,
the chief executive of Colony Ridge, John Harris, and he owns this development with his brother, Will Harris. Look him up, everybody. He's got several DWIs.
Yeah, so, that sounds about right, too.
Yeah. So John Harris denied all of the allegations against him, including allegations from right-wing media outlets that this area was a hub for gang activity. So we're getting close to why this conspiracy kicked off, right? But in December of 2023, after the federal lawsuit came up, because this was when, like, Texas couldn't ignore it, and they're like, "Oh shit, this is really, really bad for Texans. We kind of got to, do something.
We got to do something about this."
So Abbott signed a bill into law in December of 2023, which allocated $40 million to state troopers so that they could patrol Colony Ridge. Which is interesting because John Harris has donated millions of dollars to Greg Abbott's various campaigns. He's also donated to Briscoe Kane, who we've talked about, one of the most conservative members. He's donated to a lot of Republican politicians.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Now, where does this conspiracy come from? Alec, can you guess what right-wing media outlet kicked this off?
I mean, it can't be as easy as Fox News.
No. Think Info? More inflammatory. Ooh, that would be great. No.
Wait. Not Voice of America. What the fuck's it called?
You're getting close.
Newsmax. Newsmax. What's the even shittier one called?
It's not Newsmax. You're getting close, but you're still really close.
One news network. One American news network. OANN?
Yeah, it's the Daily Wire.
Oh, fuck. Oh, duh. Okay.
That's why I'm doing our
bitch Shapiro.
I'm doing
the voice.
I'm doing the voice.
It's me. I work here.
Mom says you have to let me play, even though your friend
Mom says you have to let me play the Xbox. Mom says you have to let me have a turn.
Now, the Daily Wire, in their article about this, they admit that they have no way to verify anyone's immigration status. They're just there could be tens of thousands, because there are 30,000 residents. There could be tens of thousands of illegal immigrants.
There might be tens of thousands of illegal aliens here.
This disease could be coming for you, and you might be able to get it from toilet seats. Like that kind of fear-mongering. Look, it's not mandatory for immigration status to be taken into consideration or verified in the state of Texas when selling property. Obviously, Texas is looking to crack down on that, specifically over Chinese nationals buying land.
They're not upset about Mexicans, by the way. That would be funny of you to think, but no.
Yeah. Now, the Daily Wire pushed the narrative that any cartel or gang activity or members are using Colony Ridge as a hub. Now, this, where do I start here? Okay. So a bunch of different Texas politicians have flown over the neighborhood, and they look down and be like, the footprint of this neighborhood is growing exponentially, but it looks like a shithole. These people, they're flying foreign flags and they ain't taking care of the land. If only the developer would put in fucking sewage and water and electricity infrastructure and trash pickup. So no, it's not these people waving foreign flags. It's the fucking white landowning developer who doesn't give a fuck about actually investing in this property. Daily Wire went so far as to call this neighborhood a ghetto of non-assimilation.
Is that a real quote?
Real quote, direct quote. Ghetto of non-assimilation.
That's crazy, kind of, even for them. No, I mean, they have a real way with words.
The language, I had to, while I despise the rhetoric, I had to admire, or at least respect, their mastery of the English language of this word carries exactly the connotation you want me to take away from it.
What do you call somebody that runs a shitty apartment complex?
Slumlord.
Yeah. What do you call a slum village? It's a slum something.
A fiefdom?
No, a slumlord runs what? He runs like a shitty apartment complex. It doesn't matter.
A land baron? I don't
know. Yeah. No. So they're like, this fucking slum neighborhood that you've created looks like dog shit. This looks terrible.
Not me.
Clearly it's the people that live there's fault. what are we talking about, man?
Dang, you gotta stop selling all these properties to these fucking bums. That's the problem. You got bad clients.
Yeah, your clients are so bad they look like shit when you sell them.
So the fears of gang activity does have its roots in one particular case. This is the murder of 16-year-old Emily Patricia Rodriguez in 2022, whose body was found in a ditch near Colony Ridge. Three people were convicted for this. Two men received a 50-year sentence for her murder in late January, like January 25th, I believe, was the sentencing, so literally 1 month ago. And a woman was sentenced to 30 years in prison for being a driver before and after the murder. She was, you know, Emily Rodriguez was an employee at Nico Nico. These people said, like, hey, come hang out with us, and they killed her. Now, the DA for the area, Jennifer Bergman, believed the murder to be gang-related, despite the fact that one of the men who was sentenced for the murder was Rodriguez's ex-boyfriend, Kevin Giovanni Rivera Ortiz. Now, this is from the Liberty County Sheriff's Office immediately after the crime. So they knew, like, this is, would you call this domestic violence? Yeah, this is like, exactly. This is jilted lover shit. This is not a gang murder.
Well, I mean, never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Like, it's one of those.
Precisely. Yeah. And Rivera Ortiz has a hold for ICE, and he is considered an undocumented immigrant. And so the Daily Wire saw this, ran with it, and was like, hey, this neighborhood looks like shit. There was an undocumented immigrant, like, involved in a murder. This is gang shit. So this article that the...
I mean, it's pretty dark to say, but I mean, like, if you've lived in Texas... I'm shocked that this even makes the news because, like, a slumlord renting out to, you know, Hispanic people that might not be, like, citizens is not new to anybody, right? Like, I mean, if you've ever been inside Houston, right, you're like, yeah, that guy probably doesn't fix that house up and probably pays for it in the rent, but gets to rent it out because he rents out to people that don't have, you know, immigration status lined up.
I think you're right that it's not that surprising that this didn't make the news because I had to look onto like bluebonnetnews.net or something. It was the local news source for Liberty County, and it looks like someone's blog. Like they can't even afford a webmaster.
Well, so this thank God that they're doing some journalism so that we can even figure out what the fuck's going on here, like where the inception point of this is.
Journalism, more like editorializing.
Okay, so this is maybe more like the Facebook post we've talked about before.
Yeah, the article did acknowledge that, like, Liberty County says that, you know, this is their boyfriend, but we all know it's a gang activity.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But because of that website, I was able to find out more information and start to piece all this shit together. I couldn't find anything on the Texas Tribune or the Houston Chronicle that gave me like more details on it. In fact, I think the Chronicle reported on it, but they did not share the victim's name because she was a juvenile. And this blog, this Blue Bonnet News is like, fuck it. We're telling everybody. Everything.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. Total disrespect for the victim in this case. Yeah, but this Daily Wire article combined with the conviction from last month, literally a month ago, an insistence that it was gang related from the moment the murder happened to today is what led to the raid earlier this week. Okay. Now, let's get into the raid itself. On the morning of February 24th, yesterday, ICE raided Colony Ridge. Governor Abbott claimed that he had been working with ICE and Department of Homeland Security on this raid for months, despite Trump being president for 1 month and 4 days at the moment that the raid occurred. So, yeah, bullshit.
I mean, that's possible, but...
No way. Could remember, Abbott was so heavily critical of Joe Biden's immigration handling that he, like, sued him. And he was like, I'm operating unconstitutionally. I'm ignoring federal statutes to do my own thing. So I think this conviction happened. People still wanted blood. And Abbott was just like, fuck it, whatever. Authorized
it. They just threw something together.
That's what I think.
Definitely possible, man. Definitely now, possible.
Whether or not that's true or my own speculative theory, I don't know. But the convictions of these three individuals involved in Rodriguez's murder definitely gave Abbott the political capital to pull this off without having to like worry about the consequences. Now, when asked for information about the arrest and the raid and how many agents were involved, Abbott directed all the questions to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, which did not respond.
Go ask them.
Yeah. And they were like, we're not answering any questions.
That's crazy. Okay.
Now, this morning, because this is a developing story, and I had to update it after I wrote up my notes here. But this morning, Borders Are Homan acknowledged that over 90 people were detained, and there was one arrest, which was the one of the detainees was the owner of Payan Tire Shop on the charges of not having proper work permit. So they arrested him, or they detained him. They're looking into his immigration status. And this guy, the guy who owns the tire shop, the person was not going to reveal his name, the person who witnessed the arrest. But this owner of the tire shop lived in Texas for over 20 years, and he spent the last 5 years building his home in Colony Ridge, though doing it himself because the developer won't fucking do it, as well as his business. I think later on this afternoon, it was announced that there were 118 arrests, and only one specific example was given, a man named Florentine Chavez Luna, who is a three-time deportee from El Salvador, who was arrested on a warrant for repeated sexual abuse of a minor from November 2008 to November 2016. So they cast a wide net. They catch one guy they're willing to talk about, and they're going to say, like, this is everybody. We're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
It's an epidemic. Yeah, and it's like, yeah. You got one guy.
Yeah. You arrested, like, over 118 people, man.
Yeah.
For one, and you got, why aren't you bragging about anybody else? Because you got fucking nothing.
I gotta say, man, it fucking blows my mind that, like, in the Trump administration that's trying to, like, do this so hard, right? And we talk about immigration so much that I still don't see a bill for like federal identification. Like, it just keeps blowing my mind, man. We talk about fucking voter ID all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, I'm fairly certain that, like, people would be fine with that if there was an actual serious federal ID system. I mean, the fact that we don't know, like, who's a citizen of the United States and who's not is a problem. It's like, address this. This is, like, something government should do. No, I don't know.
I think you pulled something out. Yeah, right up there, boy.
That's something that a real government should do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Trump is going to build a registry per the things. I think I saw that in the Wall Street Journal today. We'll see. But the story gets more frustrating, believe it or not. The local law enforcement, Liberty County Sheriff's Office, was not involved in the raid. In fact, they keep pushing back on the narrative that this is a hub for gang activity.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Now, Colony Ridge CEO John Harris, remember him from earlier, he released a statement in which he said that he is grateful for the efforts of Governor Abbott, Tom Homan, and all those involved in rooting out criminal illegals in Texas, a.k.a. dismiss my lawsuit, please.
Please give me a pardon or whatever the fuck they call it when the governor does it. Really funny.
There's no telling what is going to happen to these people that are detained. If their citizenship status cannot be confirmed, they're likely going to be deported or sent to fucking Guantanamo Bay, which is so fucking disgusting. They are supposed to be allowed to contact their family members or lawyers within 48 hours, but there's no information yet as to whether or not that's happening. I'm going to be watching the story as it develops. We may have some updates for you on a future episode, but by the end of the week, by the end of tomorrow night, these people should have been allowed to contact their loved ones or a fucking lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what you need to come to expect at this point, which is, like, you're going to get taken advantage of, right? There's going to be these dragnets. People are going to get caught in them, and then they're basically just going to have no rights at all. And even if they do have rights, right? Even if, like, a judge possibly puts a stay on, like, either their deportation or their detainment, you know, at fucking Guantanamo, right? In the case of, like, deportation, that might just come too late, right?
Yeah.
And while a judge can decide that, right, like, technically you weren't supposed to be deported, I've heard of instances where that doesn't mean that you get to come back into the country, right? Like, you are stuck now, you know, wherever they decided to send you. Could be your country of origin, could be one they decided on, right?
there are, I'm not going to reveal any names or too many details just because I don't want anyone to get in trouble or be scared, but there is an artist in Houston whose spouse was from Sweden or Iceland. I forget which, but yeah, ICE just lost them for months.
Oh my God. It's a fucking nightmare, dude.
Yeah. And like, I think this, maybe this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Like, if this could happen to someone who fits the American physical ideal, imagine how they're treating people that they're othering.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah,
it's disgusting. It really pisses me off. This more than anything that the Trump administration is doing. Like, we live in Houston. Look, you're an immigrant.
Yeah,
you know some of my friends that are immigrants, and I live in the city of Houston where, like, this is the only place I know of where I can get like a taco and gulab jamun within like a couple of miles from each other, right? Like, I can eat.
It might be one of the only places in the world. Like, no joke, right? Like,
it might
Houston's
be
like that. It's just super multicultural in that like fashion, right? Like, multiracial, multicultural, multi-ethnic, I guess, whatever the proper term is.
It's beautiful. It really, it's like, it is in a way like what America is kind of striving towards, of this like multicultural thing where we all kind of live together and we all have to put up with each other because you don't know who's going to have a gun and shoot you if you like blow up at them. But it really bums me out. Like, I just think that immigrants and immigration is what makes America so great. I think it's what makes humanity so great. I think it's what makes life worth living, because you get to experience all these new things that you didn't get to grow up with in your fucking dumbass suburb.
Fuck should upset you, Connor, because this shit fucking sucks, man. This fucking shit sucks.
If you get deported, what are we going to do?
I mean, Zoom works in Poland, I guess. I'm a fucking U.S. citizen. If they deport my ass, y'all got problems, man. That shit. If I'm getting deported, it's gotten real fucking bad.
So I got one last thing to add on this, which I'll just go ahead and read my statement here. In March of 2024, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton did end up suing Harris for deceptive sales, marketing, and lending practices. So he's got the federal lawsuit that may or may not get dropped because it's also from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is dead in the water.
The dude in charge of it is what, like, actively scamming people with like payday loans? It's sick, dude. Let's go.
I think, is it Russell Vaught? Yeah.
That might be his name, yeah.
Oh, no, he's an OMB. But Trump is giving everybody like double duty, so he might be also be doing that. But look, this lawsuit only happened after the Texas Tribune and Houston Landing wrote about the dozens of complaints that Texas kept ignoring from residents of Colony Ridge. So they were ignoring them for years until this big expose got written, right? And this is how it happens in fucking Texas.
Classic.
It's another tale of a prolific donor getting a pass until the wrong people get mad. And I can't help but think, if there were U.S. flags being flown in Colony Ridge as opposed to foreign flags of Spanish-speaking countries, would anyone even care? Would this land have gotten developed even faster? Would Harris have gotten sued? Would the complaints have been acted on quicker if they weren't like Latinos from Spanish-speaking countries? Allegedly, they could just be like, I'm a U.S. citizen that like has a connection with my El Salvadoran ancestry, so I fly an El Salvadoran flag in my neighborhood.
I mean,
but based on the deceptive practices, I think Harris was like finding immigrants to live there.
I mean, are you saying if they weren't immigrants, would they have been scammed and ignored by the state? Less likely. It's definitely possible, right? This is Texas after all.
Yeah,
but I mean, less likely.
It's less likely. It just, yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah,
like this guy created a hub of immigrants, surely, with Colony Ridge, but that doesn't mean that he created a hub of cartel or gang activity. Just because you're an immigrant doesn't mean you're in a fucking gang. Except for you, Alec, because you're
famous Polish gangs.
Yeah, you did teach me how to shoplift from Kroger. So,
oh, that's not gang activity. There were only two of us. I think it takes three.
Alec, I don't know if I should do this. It's like, you better steal this sushi or I'll gut you like a fish.
That's when I held a knife up to your gut. But I don't even know what I was talking about.
Yeah, whatever. It's just disgusting business as usual, man.
Yeah.
Will it get worse? Good. Probably, because as embarrassing as it is to have like 118 sweeping arrests with one worth talking about, you would think like we have egg on our face, we need to cool it. No, because Trump has quotas for all these like immigration arrests. They're just going to keep going. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, they're just doing illegal shit, and there's nothing we can do about it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, speaking of immigration, we have one immigrant in particular that you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, and this is like so pertinent to like what we were just saying, like the Elon Musk stuff. I'm not going to go into like, you know, enumerating like what's been going on and stuff. I just wanted to point out, if you don't live in a place where there's like a lot of Trump support, where, you know, your coworkers say like cruel or like stupid things, then you might not be like as familiar with this as like somebody like me. Right. I think it's worth talking about how much of the kind of latent support for the dismantling of the federal government that's going on under DOGE, right? And the lack of response from the Democrats, but just the kind of ambient support for it. And there is a lot of support for it, right? That's the first thing to say. There are people, and quite a few of them, right? And if you live in like a more liberal place, these people are not piping up. You're just not hearing this. That are very, very happy with the kind of dismantling of the federal government as it exists, right? And you might say, you know, I've seen a lot of people online saying, you know, these people are doing not self-harm. What's the they're self-destructive, right? Because these people tend to rely on government services more than maybe that might be true, right? Whatever. They certainly don't see themselves that way, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's important to point out that this is like when people talk about austerity kind of begetting more austerity, right? That allowing for a relationship between a state, right? Any state. We're talking about the United States here, but this goes, you know, equally, if not, you know, more in some ways for like the discussion I had with Mirko about Germany. When people don't feel particularly invested in the workings of the state, whenever the capacity of the state that improves their lives is allowed to be kind of invisible to them, and when you allow people to undermine that relationship between the state and those people, and they don't feel personally invested, right? They don't feel like they get a thing. They feel like this infrastructure, right, roads or whatever, right, exists to help everybody technically, right? But their life is still bad, right? It's the bare minimum, right? As opposed to them being actively engaged by the state. Then when a guy like fucking Elon comes in and just starts, you know, knocking over all the fucking the shelves in the China shop, right, and breaking shit that is unironically, right, possibly going to spell the end for like this chapter of American history, right? Like they very well could be breaking things about the federal government that have basically been basically it would take like another New Deal to recreate, right? Know mm-hmm. that this is in large part not just the fault of the conservatives that have been railing on this and screaming about it and promising this forever, right, that they would do it if they get elected, but also like the feckless liberal, right, who it's just too expensive. Well, people don't want this government service. They would prefer to get fucked by insurance all the time. And the healthcare domain is still just so aggravating to me, right? We just don't have the money. We just don't have the capacity. Well, there's just not the votes for this, blah, 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 right? Like if you allow that kind of shit to exist in your body politic, and we do, and it rules us, then this is what you get. This is a direct outgrowth of the austerity that's been allowed for the past 50 years. And now it's overt. It's cruel. It's way stupider, right, than anything else that came before it. And it shouldn't be surprising. And if I don't know, I mean, I'm sorry, guys, if that's a real fucking downer, right? But I've seen a lot of people, very correctly so, right? Like freaking out about this and talking about it and being frustrated by the fact that there doesn't seem to be any real response to it, right, that anybody can do politically or individually. I mean, we all feel fucking powerless to this thing. But what I don't think they're doing is saying one of, you know, the important part, which is that this should have been expected, right? This is a natural outgrowth of the way that America has been for basically generations now, right? An entrenchment that only seems to continue. And by the way, like, I don't think is going anywhere. I don't see, by the way, like, the Democratic Party learning anything from Trump 2 in the same way that they didn't learn anything from Trump 1. I'm quickly becoming really frustratedly comfortable with that idea that they don't seem to be learning anything and they don't want to, right? It's not in their interest.
There's a part of it that kind of feels like they're glad it's happening because it'll help them in the midterms, or help them, or they think this will help us in the midterms. We can last 2 years of having like a completely bare bones administrative state.
Trump got Biden elected, that got Trump elected, and that will get the next Democrat elected or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's this like never ending cycle, and it's going down the tubes at a faster and faster rate all the time.
Folks, we all thought accelerationism would be fun. It's not fun. It sucks ass. The Marvel movies aren't even good anymore.
Yeah, everything's bad now. Even the fucking shows and shit aren't good. By the way, I've been watching some shows that maybe we should talk about. Maybe I should finish them first. I don't know if you've seen Netflix The Madness. Quite interesting, politically intriguing. I haven't gotten to the end, so I don't know if I'm mad because it's too lib or enjoying it because it's woke, right? Because it goes both ways, and I can't tell if it's
I saw a show on HBO that I wanted to pitch to you because it's like it's a Polish language police drama, police thriller.
I've heard like, of this.
We have found a body in the woods. Or I have a terrible Polish accent. Just got to do an impression of your mom with a deep voice.
Very difficult.
Alec, we have found this book. Alec, why are you calling me on my Felitone?
Felitone. A classic, a Polak thing to say, by the way, right there. I think you're talking about The Thaw.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's funny because it's like, it's set in like Szczecin, which is like a pretty good like area of Poland. It's like it's not in like, because you would expect, right, like a True Detective or something like that, right, is set in Louisiana, right? It's like decrepit and it's kind of like rotten, and you know, Szczecin is not that way at all. It's like one of the best, by the way, Szczecin, if they're German listeners, you already know, but if that word kind of doesn't sound particularly Slavic, it's because it's German. We just made it Polish. It was a very Polish city or a very German city forever. The show's a little bit old. I know that I think my mom was watching it or something when it was maybe on Netflix.
Is it something where like someone, a dead body turns up in a nice part of town, is like, this is why we need to get rid of all those Muslim immigrants.
Or they're like, he looks Ukrainian. I don't know. He looks like a Balkan.
I don't know. You're telling me this, and it does make me think of like, okay, that's the premise of the show. It's like this, there's a dead body in a wealthy neighborhood, and people are pissed, and it puts additional pressure on the police.
That sounds like a thing that would happen. Yeah. Yeah. It would be very funny for like American audiences to be watching like, you know, Altewiersz or whatever it's called, right? And then them being like, oh my god, this town is so decrepit and like post-industrial, and it's like, that's one of the nicer cities in Poland. That's like a really nice looking one.
I'm totally down to watch it for the show. I've always wanted to see finally a show where the cops are stealing.
Nice. Nice. How many Polaks does it take to solve a murder?
At least three. Those are the people on the poster. Like, they all personally witnessed the crime and they're still scratching their heads.
Yeah. My credits are 38 million people long. The joke is that's the population of Poland.
Yeah. That's the lighting unit is 38,000 people. Change a fucking light bulb.
There we go. There it is, dude. Polish lighting unit. Very good.
What other shows do you want to watch? What else is on the?
We've been watching The Madness. I mean, I've been rewatching a lot of Hank Hill, of King of the Hill.
Oh yeah,
getting real Texas vibes. Hank of the Hill has such like a Hank of the Hill. Hank of the Hill. Holy fuck, King of the Hill might be worth like talking about on this show, because like there's a real like not an insidious by any means, but like it's so hopeful about like who America is, and especially like those kinds of people, right? And like I'll admit, right, like rednecks are by and large good people, almost all people are good people, but like in like when did King of the Hill air? In like the 1990s, early mid 2000s,
late 1990, I think it premiered in 1997 and wrapped up in 2010.
Okay. Because, like, the optimism of that era feels, like, so gone, right? Like, you watch King of the Hill, it feels like a different country.
Well, that's why I'm excited for the reboot that's coming out, like, very soon.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. Bobby grew up, and he's, like, a sushi... No, he's, like, a Korean barbecue fusion chef or something. No, it was like a detail that got leaked and they had to like delete and scrub the information from the internet.
Oh, come on.
But they will be releasing some episodes set in the modern day, finally answering the question, who would they vote for?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Dad, I'm woke now. Bobby, damn it, we're making America great again, son. We're going to see him today. He's electric. He reminds me of who's the fucking Dallas Cowboys chief that he is always a coach.
Oh my gosh!
Oh damn it,
Tom Landry.
Tell him Tom Landry. He reminds me of Tom Landry.
I am.
Is he a quarterback? Maybe.
No, Tom Landry was the coach of the Dallas.
He was a coach. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've been watching Severance, and
is it good?
It's very good. I suspect, without any spoilers, I think it's kind of like the dark side of Neuralink. Neuralink is the one thing that I'm really stoked that Elon Musk is funding. I think it's absolutely incredible, jaw-dropping technology. And this show shows what Elon is probably hoping he can do with that technology.
So this is the show where like people go to work and then they forget their life at home, and then the premise is you go home and you forget your life at work, right?
Right. You basically bifurcate your personality, so you have a work personality and a home personality, much like real life, but like they're absolutely separated. It's called severed. You're severed, and you can't.
Okay, interesting. I think I saw a trailer for that show like a long time ago, and then we never watched it. And now it's the second season, right? Came out and people are talking about it again. Like it's fucking great.
Oh, it's incredible. We'll I love it.
But oh,
I love it.
I forgot. You have to get it on Apple TV, right?
Come on, baby. You know, I can help you out with that.
Oh, Connor, you're the best.
Yeah. I have Apple TV. I'll Daddy give you Connor. My login.
Daddy Connor, can we watch Severance tonight?
All right, you got anything else?
No, man, I'm good.
Okay. Well, that about wraps it up. Before I go into the outro, hey, everybody, keep an eye on your local law enforcement, your local ICE raid. Look to what Chicago is doing to pretty much stonewall efforts on ICE to conduct these raids. And as always, Excelsior Propagandos, and keep your eyes on the skies.
Buy a gun.
Greg Abbott collaborated with our border czar, Tom Homan, to raid the Colony Ridge neighborhood, which is in the Houston area. It's northeast of Houston, kind of like directly west of the wood, or directly east. Oh, my God.
Sick. Oh my God, I'm going to be. Woo! Having fun on the podcast.
It is directly east of.
You gotta, because if there's a track where you're just talking normally and then there's a track where you sound like you're laughing, it sounds fucked up when I edit it.
So Colony Ridge is northeast of Houston.